Rob McGarding Tour back on 2NURFM. Not Scott Sharp today, but Judy Sharp's with us.
Yeah, I'm here today.
Very well, Judy. This is the first time for us for this year as well.
It is, yes. Yeah, you had Scott first up. Yeah, you poor man.
Oh, I struggled, but I maintained, I think. We maintained it, I think. It was all right. We got through it.
Yeah, no, it is our first time today, but we might get a lot of callers now that we're back together.
Oh, sure we would. I think it'd be flooding in today.
Excellent.
But we've got lots of things to get through as well, Judy.
We do.
Hibiscus is the top of the list.
Yeah, hibiscus is top of the list. Shall we go for it now?
We can go for a little run if you want to. We'll do a little bit of hibiscus, I think.
Okay, rightio. So it's time with hibiscus, gardenia, moraes. They need some help with cow manure.
Okay.
So a little fertiliser with cow manure, mm-hmm. particularly hibiscus. They love it. And so do gardenias and moraes. They need a little bit of help now too. You know, I mean, we've had rain and so the soil has washed away a little bit, but apart from that, they would have used everything up coping with the weather. So cow manure around those three plants, please, listeners.
All right, Kelly, old cow manure then.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff.
All right, good stuff of the week. Judy, a little bit of a list there. We just spoke about hibiscus, but what other things you want to look at today?
Oh, there are quite a few things actually, Greg, but I've been sitting here thinking about some of the real problems I've had in my garden, which really I should relate to other people's gardens mm-hmm. as well. You know, I'd planted a nice new little lime tree and all of a sudden it drooped. And I thought, why is that silly little lime getting offended about something?
Yep.
And then I thought, oh, hang on, I wonder if Simon Sharp had been around with some kind of fertiliser. And I walked over and it was bone dry. Now, we'd had a bit of rain.
Yep.
But obviously, you know, it's not enough at the moment, you know. So I think that that's relative to a lot of people's gardens, Greg. Last week we had a lot of calls about problems and they could easily be fixed up by saying, look, I'm sorry, but you're not watering enough. So, you know, a lot of people might have heard that last week and be addressing that kind of problem.
Do you think people just think because we've had those big storms and showers that, garden's done?
Sorted. Oh, yeah, they do.
Everything's been soaked.
Yeah, they do. And I don't think we've no water restrictions or anything. So, but I got a real shock and Simon mowed my lawn last week and after he mowed, he put the sprinkler on. And he said, you know why I'm doing that, Mum? I said, yes, because if the sun comes out tomorrow and you've mown that lawn, it's going to be burnt up. And he said, yes, so leave the sprinkler on and then you go and move it a couple of times. I said, okay, thank you, bye-bye. He's a great son.
Yes.
Well, they're both great sons, but anyway. So how
seems like there's a favourite.
Oh, no, he's not. now, tell me, Greg, how are your chilies going?
They're going well.
Are they good? Mm. Good. So they're not objecting to the weather?
No, not really. I don't think so, no.
Right. So you made chili jam or?
No, not as yet. They're just all sowing the fruit up now.
Oh.
So it's been the last couple of weeks they're all coming through.
Okay. So is this late for them to fruit?
I think so. I don't.
grow them regularly.
Yeah, but I just assume when they grow, that's when they grow. I haven't kept a diary for them.
Right, okay. Well, you know, the other things happen that tomatoes are nearly finishing too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for people just to leave them rot in the ground, but that isn't a wise idea. It's better to clean your bed out and prepare for the winter crop going in.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things to do in the garden at the moment, even though you're probably deterred by the heat. But today, you know, it's quite pleasant out there.
It is. Yesterday was lovely as well.
Yeah, it was too, yeah.
A little bit cold for February, if you ask me, but...
Well, it was. It was freezing.
And
it was absolutely freezing. And silly me, I wandered out in shorts for some reason.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. And we've got Jeff from Arcadia Vale. And he's got a question about tomatoes. Afternoon, Jeff.
Hello, yeah, Jeff.
Hello, Judy.
How are you going?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I've got two tomato bushes and they're... They each are planted in a separate pot, big pots.
Yeah.
And the tomatoes, I don't know whether I'm going to answer my own question. They get a big, they seem to be maybe getting sunburned. Is that a thing that can happen to them?
Oh, I doubt it.
Yeah. They end up with a big round sort of, I would call it like a sunburned patch on them.
Jeff, that sounds...
It sounds more
like a fungus, sorry. Have you got fruit fly in them, do you think?
No.
You haven't? You haven't had any fruit fly?
No, I haven't had any fruit fly.
Look, I'm thinking, Jeff, honestly, that might be a fungus, unless you want to pop up here to the station and bring me some in to have a look at, dear.
Yeah, okay, then I could probably do that, yeah.
Oh, that'd be good fun. You could do that if you like. But, look, honestly, I really think it's probably a fungal problem. Have you got a fungicide at all at home? Say, Mancozeb?
I've been dusting them with tomato dust.
Right, okay. Just check on the label what it covers. Uh-huh. But I think you might need to buy just a complete fungicide.
Yeah, okay then.
Something like Mancozeb.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, well, what I've done is a couple of them, I've pulled them off the bush and they're ripe, and I sort of cut that patch off, go a little bit deeper, and the rest of the tomato is fairly good to, you know, there doesn't seem to be anything else in there.
Oh, okay, Jeff.
I've eaten them.
Look, can I ask another question before you go? Have you got them well staked? The tomatoes that are going brown, they're not actually touching the ground, are they, on one side?
No.
Right,
no,
okay.
They're touching the ground.
Well, you're on the ball, so let's go with the fungicide now and see if that makes a difference. Let us know.
All right. Okay, great. I'll give it a go.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've got David now from Morisset, and he's got a question about camellias. I want to know if they self-seed.
Oh, hi, David.
Yeah. Hello, how are you? I've got four camellias in a row. They're all boxed in sleeper boxes. One of them died off, and I put a new one in there, and it died off too. But I've noticed underneath one of them now, it appears that they've dropped some seeds and there's small camellias coming through. Would they do that?
Yes, if they'd flowered, David.
Yes, they have. They've been there for a while.
Yeah, why are they dying in that patch, though?
Well, that's a good question. So I'm just thinking about how the other three all around it are fine. I don't know what to do. Do I just put some blood and bone or some chook manure in that patch to prepare it before I try and transplant these little seedlings that have come up?
Never chook manure, David. You need cow manure.
Okay, tell me.
Because they need acidic soil, so you'll have to leave it in there for a while, a week or so, before you plant the little babies.
I can do that. Is this a good time of year to transplant those little babies out?
Oh, maybe give it a couple of weeks, just a couple of weeks. Once we do the rundown to autumn, I think you'll be right then.
I'll put the cow manure in and leave that for a couple of weeks and then we should be right.
Then you should definitely be right, David. I'm just wondering why they keep dying in that spot. But anyway, you might have to get a soil test somewhere if that happens again.
Oh, okay. Yep. I could do that, yep.
Okay, excellent. Well,
thank you very much.
You're quite welcome, David. Give us a ring if you need any more help on it. I'd like to know how they go.
Thank you.
All right, cheers, David. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. If you've got a question, 49216 216. And we've got Janet from Mayfield, and she's got a question about bees.
Hello, Janet.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
Oh, fighting fit like yourself, I'd say, dear.
I don't think so.
Well, let's put it this way, Janet. You know, it's no point in complaining, is it?
I didn't complain, love. I just asked how you were.
Oh, no. I know you didn't. No, that's why I said I was fighting fit.
Yeah, well, good luck to you.
Okay, now, what's your problem with bees?
Yeah, well, I can't see any bees. I've got pumpkin vines growing. I've got two together. And the flowers are blooming all right.
Right.
There's been little pumpkins on it that are falling off.
Okay, rightio. So did you fertilise properly before you planted them?
They just come up on their own.
Ah, right, okay. You might need to give them a bit of help, I think, Janet. Maybe if you got some Flourish for vegetables. Have you seen
It's not too late to put it in now.
No, I don't think so, no. As long as you're getting the little pumpkins on, you know, it'd be too late later. But see if you can buy Flourish for vegetables. Now, that's a liquid one, so you mix it up and water it on every week. And if that doesn't give them stimulation to get bigger, you might have to do something about your soil next time before you're going to grow them.
Do you have to put it on where the vine is planted?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it has to be, you know. But it will go through the foliage as well. It will go through the foliage.
Oh, right, yeah. And also, I've had a peach tree or a nectarine come up on its own. And it's been there for about 6 years and it's never had any fruit on it. Is there any reason why?
Oh, yes, it might be looking for cross-pollination. But also, too, sometimes the fruiting trees do take quite a number of years. You know, avocados, they're a pain in the neck. They take forever to fruit. So it may just be the history. They might need a little bit longer to fruit, or you could be looking at a cross-pollinator. So, you know, you don't know which variety it is, of course, because you said it came up by itself.
Yeah, it's either a peach or a nectarine.
Right, okay. Well, that's a bit vague, isn't it? For well, the tree won't know which one it is for you to cross pollinate.
Okay, talking to it.
Good on you, Janet.
The tree.
Well, you've got
they
a deer, but
to me.
Yeah, but you know they probably do need a cross pollinator. I'd say.
Yeah, because it has beautiful flowers on it.
Well, you know, maybe if some bees fly past too, that might help.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know where the bees are. I've never seen any around.
Well, you know, everyone's in that situation, Janet. Unfortunately, you know, when a lot of the aviaries were destroyed because of the mite.
Right.
Yes. So it will take a little bit for the aviaries to recover and you seeing more in the garden again.
Right. Okay, thanks very much, Judy.
That's okay, nice, Janet. Look, I hope it helped you a little bit, but you know, you can just, you can't even cross-pollinate with the bees because, you know.
I tried that with a little paintbrush.
Oh, did you? Well, you're getting desperate there, Janet.
Yeah, I was. I want a pumpkin.
Look, thank you for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got Bee from Maitland. And I think she's got a question about tomatoes and sunburn, or she might have an answer for us.
I hope she's got an answer. Hello, Bee.
Hello, how's everyone there?
Oh, we're fighting fit today, actually.
Oh, I'm glad to hear someone is.
Well, you know, we've got a sound fighting fit, don't we?
No, no one cares anyway if you say you're not.
True.
Listen, that fellow, was it Jeff? Yes?
The man with the, the tomatoes, Jeff, yes.
Yeah. And there is such a thing as sunburn.
Oh, right, okay, yes.
It's definitely not, because I've grown tomatoes for years, and the last couple of summers I've found that some of them started getting, like, the night before they're fine, the next day by lunchtime they had like a
burn mark. Yeah.
It was like a brown and then whitish mark on them.
Right.
And it's paper thin. It's not blossom rot, because blossom rot is like a lot thicker. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And you see it happening. So I Googled and I, you know, asked, because I was being told it's blossom rot. I know it's not blossom rot.
No.
And I Googled and then I got onto pages and there is such a thing as sunburn. If it's papery thin, it happens pretty much overnight or after a really, really hot, blistery day. What I found is all I had to do was just cover the plants with, the white netting.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, just some white netting, and that stopped.
Solved the problem.
Yeah.
And B, you probably picked... You probably picked up they were growing in pots too.
Yeah.
Well, I always think that can be a hot situation.
No. I've had them in the garden and in the pot.
Yeah.
It just depends on where they are.
Yeah.
Like sun-wise, but honestly, there is such a thing. It's
a sunburn.
Plate pages on, you know, Google as well. Dr. Google. I couldn't work out why they're beautiful. And, okay, I'll pick them tomorrow or the next day. And, like, it's been a really blistery hot day, and the next day they've just got these
burn marks.
Just the ones that, you know, were on the outside. Yeah, they've got these round spots on them, quite large. And it makes sense because it's what the sun is actually hitting. And they've sort of brown, and then it goes whitish, and it's paper thin.
Actually, Jeff did say that they tasted quite all right.
Yeah, they taste
all right. Yeah, look.
There's nothing wrong with them except for that part or side that has the sunburn. So you just cut that off and they're fine. There's nothing wrong with them.
Oh, Bea, I really appreciate your call today. That's very helpful. And
I just put a cover over them and I leave them covered the whole time. It really doesn't hurt. Just
no, excellent. But, well, I hope Jeff's still listening. I think he will be.
Yes.
So thank you very much for the call. It's really appreciated.
We'll catch
up next time.
Okay, cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, B. We've got Robert now from Dowie, and he's got a question about dwarf citrus tree.
Hello, Robert.
How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. And you were hearing me talk about my dwarf lime. Have you got a problem with a lime or another citrus?
No, I didn't hear. Well, I've just come in to have lunch and I listened to the radio and then picked you up. I was out there working on the garden, actually. I don't know if you know about it, but I'm sure you would. A while ago, I got told about, you know, two plants in a one hole. So I got two dwarf, one lemon and one blood orange. Anyway, which one did we say it was? The blood orange. We leave the blood orange. They've got fruit on them, both the lemonade and the orange. But the blood orange, the leaves are going yellow on the tree. Plus the fruit itself has got like a yellow patch getting on it.
Right. So you did it with a lemon, did you? You said the other one was a lemon.
Lemonade and a blood orange.
Okay, right. So one is obviously stronger than the other one. That's what's happening, yeah.
I've been keeping a lot of nutrients up to it.
Yeah.
I use a few things, but I've been mucking around with liquid manure. I make a liquid manure up, which has been there for quite a few months, and then I water it down and put it on there. Plus I use a citrus long life or long lasting foods. And I thought I had enough nutrients in the ground, but that's what worries me. Is it because I have enough nutrients or is the other one overtaking it?
No, I think one's overtaking the other one. Right. Robert, sometimes, you know, people get very taken by the grafted ones, you know, where there's two grafts done on a tree.
I've got them.
Yeah.
I've got apples, three apples, three pears, what else? These are all dwarfs, and peach one.
And they're successful, are they?
But they're in their separate raised gardens. I've got a raised gardens on one, so they're all individuals in their thing, except for the pears and that. Like, they're all in their own little thing, and they're large areas they've got. But the first one was waiting for the dwarfs of the pears and that to come out of, hibernation or whatever they call it. But they get a couple of singles of these, so I thought I'd plant them, see how they go, two in the one hole.
Oh, right. Okay, look, I'm sure that's what's happening. One's stronger and it's taking over. So it's probably too late to separate them, Robert, I would imagine. You've done it some time ago. Yeah, look, all you can do is keep the nutrients up and keep your fingers crossed, Robert. I'm sorry, but that's probably what's happening, because I know with the double grafts on the citrus, often one overtakes the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But these are separate, so...
Yeah, okay. But you planted them in the same hole, so...
Yeah, and I did what they said, lean them out like a bit of an angle, so I kept the warmth in the middle.
Yeah.
And so would it be to concentrate on one side more than the other on the fertilising, or that won't happen anyway because it'll diffuse through the soil anyway.
No, I don't. I think I'd just go ahead like you've been, Robert, otherwise you'll over-fertilise and burn.
Right. Does liquid manure really good, flexible stuff? I know it's only short-term, but is that good to, as a fertiliser?
Look, sometimes that can be a bit harsh, so I just stick with the regular fertilisers. You know, with citrus, you always use poultry manure and then you use citrus food, but you always fertilise out under the drip line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when you're using the liquid one, you're probably pouring that straight onto the roots, aren't you?
I actually dilute it a fair bit, and yes, I just roll it around the whole of the it wides because the roots are spreading out. So.
Yeah. No, I'd give that a big miss and let's see what happens. Robert, thank you very much for the call. Give us a ring in a couple of weeks and let us know where you're up to.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Paul now from Rankin Park and he's got a question about avocados and gardenias.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for waiting. It's been a little wait today, hasn't it?
No, that's okay. I love the program. I think you should go for 2 hours.
Do you think the station would allow me to have lunch and perhaps a drink of something with it, do you think?
I'm sure Greg could look after you with lunch. So I've spoke to you last year about my avocado plant. I grafted it from a seed.
Yeah.
And but it's about 3 metres tall now. It's got plenty of new growth coming on it, but all the old leaves and the tips burning, looks like they're getting burnt. Should I just pull them off, or what do I do? Or is there a spray that I can spray on it? Or
look, you don't think it's some kind of fungus, do you? A fungal disease or not?
I have to be honest. Some of the leaves look like they've been attacked by something, but I can't see anything crawling on them, and there's no. It's like the leaves go, the older leaves go yellow, and then they look burnt.
Yeah, and we've had a difficult summer this year, Paul, especially. But, you know, yep. I never find the avocado leaves are very attractive, to be honest. I always think they're a little bit papery looking and, you know, you might find this summer they've just been burnt a little bit. I've got Sasanqua camellia in a pot on my front porch. Now, it has been there 3 years and this summer... Mm. Even though it's been watered regularly, on one side, all the leaves just burnt, and I couldn't believe it.
Right, okay.
And, you know, so it's been there for 3 years and it's never burnt, but perhaps I thought it might have been the fact we had wind on a few days too, and wind can be burning. Yeah.
It could be the wind. Yeah. Okay.
So it could be that, honestly, Paul, I think I'd just hang in with it, particularly if you want to eat avocados.
I think it's around 4.5 to 5 year old now. So
Well, you've got to hang in for 7, you know.
I know. I did Google how long before they fruit, but all the new growth looks very, very healthy, you know, coming through.
Well, that's good. And what about your gardenias? What's the problem with the gardenias?
There's not really much of a problem, but I do pull the yellow leaves off as they go yellow, you know, because they just easily fall off. But I've got them in pots, and I was wondering, and I know that you're talking about cow manure, so I'll get some cow manure.
Oh, not in pots, no.
Not
in pots. Yeah. Well, you would have to... I'd just get some... you'll find a gardenia fertiliser, and a good one is the Flourish, which is liquid. So, you know, that might be the answer for the ones in pots.
Okay. And also, Judy, what about when's the best time to repot them into some bigger pots?
Ah, right, okay. Wait till the autumn comes upon us.
Okay, wait till autumn.
Yeah, wait till autumn, Paul.
Yep, okay.
Hope that's helped you today.
No, it has. Just one more question about the avocado, though. Is there anything I can spray on the leaves or anything to stop that, or is there a spray for avocados?
Look, no, I was considering you spray with a fungicide like Mancozeb, but, you know, maybe that isn't the problem. I think it might be just the heat of summer.
Just the heat. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I love your program, and keep the 2 hours in mind.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
We'll have a word in the upstairs.
Yeah, we'll talk to management and see about my lunch and one of those liquid things that might go with it.
Yeah, because I think 1 hour is just not long enough. Love your show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for the call, Paul. We appreciate your comments. Bye.
Cheers, Paul. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got time for a couple more calls. We've got Jan from Morissette, and she's got a question about citrus as well, but fertilising citrus.
Hello, Jan.
Hello, Judy. I seem to be forever ringing you up for something.
Oh, look, I'm happy for you to ring. It's lovely having people to talk to and chat to. Now, what were you helping us with today?
What sort of mulch you'd put around dwarf citrus? They're in pots.
Right, okay. Look, I wouldn't put too much mulch around them. Now, have you ever used sudden impact around your citrus?
No.
Now, that's a rose food. Don't get shocked. It is fantastic. Now, the reason you use that in pots because fertiliser like poultry manure can burn, but the sudden impact won't. And it's the same, it's alkaline, which is what the citrus need, and that's what the rose is like. So I have sudden impact in my garage. I use it on my roses and on my citrus.
Right.
So rather than you be mulching and, you know, you don't want to put pine bark or something around your citrus, the most you would do is probably some sugar cane.
Oh, righty-o, yeah. Well, just right around the outside.
Yeah, just around the outside. You're trying to keep the weeds down, little devils.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because when you get them, there's this funny sort of stringy sort of bit of stuff around near the roots, near the main stem.
Right, yeah. So you're trying to keep that down instead of working hard and pulling it out all the time.
No, it's like a...
when you buy them, they've got that around it.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Yes, I know what you're talking about now, yeah. Look, I think, you know, I don't know that that's necessary if you water regularly. And I'd like to see you using that sudden impact around them and give me a ring in a little while and let me know how that went.
Righty-o, then.
Okay,
good.
Thanks, sudden Jan.
Impact. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Bye.
Bye.
We've got Lorraine now from Tea Gardens, and she's got a question about pine trees.
Oh, hi, Lorraine.
Oh, hi, Judy. How are you?
Very well. What can I help you with?
Well, I don't know whether you call them pine trees or cypress trees. I don't know. I haven't got the tags because they're quite a few years old. Can you cut them back? Ours have just gone ballistic and are outgrowing the garden.
Okay, you can, but there is a problem. When you cut pine trees, you'll change the shape of them.
Yep.
So can you tell me, are yours going up to a point?
Yes, it's like a conical type shape.
Right, okay. Well, if you cut them, you'll probably find they'll go like up a flat shape.
Oh, okay.
So you might spoil the shape of them and you can't find the tag or you can't remember what they are.
No, I can't. Just that when we bought them, they were only supposed to go to 4 metres, but I think they might have been telling us lies.
Well, I've got pine trees down my boundary, actually, and they are getting very, very tall, but I'm sure they're at their last, the height they meant to go to, but I've looked at them and I know I will spoil them if I cut them. So just hang in a bit and see if they, you know, that pulls them up where they're going now.
Right. One of them looks like it's dying and got a bit of dieback, so we just don't know whether we're going to lose it or whether, I know they are a bit temperamental, but considering the age, we just wonder what's causing it to die back all of a sudden.
Well, this is one I can answer, Lorraine. It is the weather. I have one, and it has gone completely brown, and I've had to pump the water in it, and I've relied on the wind blowing off the brown growth. You know, I mean, it's not like cutting a normal tree, even though they're normal. But so, look, honestly, just try and get that brown growth off without you pruning it. You know, get your hand and shake it up and down. But unfortunately, I think we're running out of time, but do give us a ring next week again if you'd like to. But look, that's the way I'd solve it. Just put your hand up and down and rub that brown growth off.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lorraine. Bye. Yes,
have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's all for Gardening Talk Back on 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.